and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the
kingdom. Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenly.
We declare everlasting love for you.
Lift up your hands and worship Him. God is going to visit you tonight. God is going to visit you tonight. Manda baba sukra shura mama kiyaboko ahindoko zamenamadikim begide mama kororis babunu kiba. We worship you tonight. We exalt you. We magnify your name. The I am that I am. The one who was. The one who is, and the one who is to come. The Almighty God, the Creator of the heaven and the earth, we honor you. The one that holds the seven stars, seven galaxies, seven planets in your hands. The one that holds the world in the palm of your hand. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Mahanagaba, Kiboborobori, Mama Mahiobo, Hoboki, Baba Bahayo, Okoborobo, Hindo Kosaya. Have your way in this place. Let every barrier be shattered. Let the people get a new revelation of who you are. Let them step out and conquer every obstacle on the path. Equip everyone with a rod of revelation tonight. Equip everyone with a rod to do signs of wonder. Let the faith of God come alive in the people. We give you praise tonight. Have your way. Resurrect every dead ministry. Resurrect every dead businesses. Resurrect every dead marriages. Resurrect anything that has come to stagnation. We give you praise. When you move, no one can stop you. When your hand is stretched forth, no one can stop it. Thank you for your outstretched arm in this place tonight. Thank you for your glory. We magnify your name. We exalt you.
And at your throne of grace I humbly bow.
Project that song.
My affections I pour out. My eyes release your tears as I behold the beauty of the Lord.
You are my hiding.
You are my dwelling place, my tower of strength, and at your throne
of grace
I humbly bow.
My affection,
I pour
out.
My eyes release their tears. As I behold the beauty of the Lord. You are my dwelling place, my tower of strength, and as you throw
of grace
I humbly bow.
I pour out
my affections, I pour out, my eyes release the tears, as I
behold
the beauty of the Lord.
Praise, hallelujah. Good evening. Are you ready for an encounter with God tonight? We just came out of one this morning. I don't have words to explain it. It's still on me. I'm looking for who to release some of it on. Looking for who to release some of it. If you want a fresh anointing, maybe you've been hungry for a while. Come on. I just want a few people. Just lift up your hands. Come on, take that baby a little up. Just a few people. You've been hungry. You've been hungry. Another level of the presence of Jesus. Just lift your hands and ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. No. My mama and the baba here. Azuki. Ask him to reveal himself afresh to you. You're going to have a whole collision with the glory of God tonight. It begins with hunger. It begins with hunger. The cabod of God. Legimoko, Pabruki, Kebevi Gis, Varinunso, Kabulomu, Shadigababa, Zivinigaba, Gabinele, Shuki is that. The cupboard of God. Thank you, Lord. Now listen to me. I'm not going to touch you because there are some of you that are not ready for what we're talking about. They've come out again like one of the events. No. God is looking for deliverers. Looking for men to use. Not looking for men to tickle. You're not ready for God to use. You don't come around messing around the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not given for picnic. That's why I can't do that. Can't try it. I'm talking about now. God is commissioning people into the field at this season. We're not talking about people who want to get a fresh feeling. They want to feel good. Want to, you know, we're not interested in people like you. We're looking for people who will introduce God to their generation. People who will carry God to their generation. And now, if you truly have that hunger, God is going to single you out this night. Watch out, you will see. Because Jesus himself is here, he's going to pass by you and cast a mantle on you. He's going to do it. And you will know when he casts it on you. You will know. When that glory comes on you, you will know. There is a new season. We're in a new season. God is selecting men. He's crowning people with his anointed oil. He's looking for men to use in different spheres. He's not looking for people to tickle. He's not looking for itching ears.
Hallelujah.
person you need to see is Jesus, the Son of God. Close your eyes. The one that died for you. The one that rose again from the dead. Seated at the right hand of God. He is your beauty. He is your glory. He is your breakthrough. He is your wisdom. He is your life. Lord, tonight I recognize you again. You are my everything. You are my life. You are my strength. You are my glory. You are my beauty. You are my wealth. I will never take you for granted. I will never take you. Even here before God's people, I repent forever, ever neglecting you. Wonderful Holy Spirit, we recognize you in this place. Come and introduce yourself afresh to the church. Come and introduce Jesus afresh to us. Free everyone from the bondage of religion and release them into the activation of the reality of their sonship, where they can become carriers of God to their generation, carriers of your divine substance, where they can become true agents of change and transformation. Take the veil off the eyes. Take the veil off our eyes. Cause us to see you one more time. Hallelujah. 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 I break every veil that has kept you from having access. I break it tonight. Open the eyes of your people and reveal yourself afresh to every heart. It's time for Lagos to be brought into the place of circumcision and into the place of revelation of who you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Go back to your seat.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Exodus chapter 3. There's something I want to show you so we can go into number of other things. We are dealing with breaking the barriers of ministry. What is keeping you from manifestation? What is stopping you from fulfilling the call of God on your life? What is stopping you? Barrier is anything, visible or invisible, that is keeping you from entering into your promised land, from fulfilling your destiny. Majority of the barriers of ministries are inside people. They are not outside. They are inside them. Fear, unbelief, some rejection. There is something that cures all those internal barriers. It's a revelation of the I Am. That's what happened to Moses here in Exodus chapter 3. God appears to him in a burning bush. And in verse 7 he said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cries because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and so on and so forth. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? When I think about commissions, there are seven men that stand out that carried some dangerous apostolic commissions in the Bible. I have these other five, making it 12, but some of them stand out for me. I think about someone like Adam, when nobody has ever done ministry on earth before. The first man that was commissioned, his own is to populate the earth and to have dominion, to govern it. The first one-world president that God created was Adam. But he was to create the society as well as rule it. He was to manage all the resources on earth. I asked God, how many barriers did Adam face? He said, no. Most of what Adam needed was the downloading of the blueprint from heaven. So Adam and Jesus had similar experience with this, the downloading of the blueprint. So at the cool of the day, he will spend enough time and God will show him exactly, because what he was supposed to do on earth is already existing in another planet. It was just to download here what has been in heaven, just like God told Moses, build it according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain.
But Adam blew it, and 2,000 years after, God was to destroy the earth with flood. And he gives another commission to a man, and that commission was to preserve creation, especially the animal species, the human species, and all of that, so that at the end of the destruction, there will be seed to start the process all over again. So God doesn't have to come and start creating everything again. His own is to preserve every species of animals, preserve, you know, at least one couple, so that the human family can start all over again. After all, God started with one. But he succeeded in preserving eight souls, four couples. He threw invitation to as many people as possible to come inside the boat, but of course they derided him and all that. There were a lot of obstacles involved in carrying out Noah's commission. So before you can understand obstacles to ministry or barriers, you first have to have an understanding of what you're called to do. How you define your ministry determines what you understand as your barriers. Because we always think that the call of God is about preaching. All the people I've mentioned to you have very little preaching involved in the assignment. Very little preaching involved in it. Any assignment that God gives is a ministry. A ministry is a pursuit of purpose. It could be to go and create a company and grow the staff strength to 5,000. That's a church you have already planted. And then discipled that for me and use them to comb the career world. It could just be grow the staff strength to 100 and use them as evangelists, apostles in the marketplace to disciple the career world. Some of the 21st century churches will be businesses, companies. God said, Noah, you have to build an ark enough to preserve at least a species, a male and a female of every animal on earth, plus all the other stuff that you had to, all the food they will eat, because this thing was going to last for one full year. The rain will fall for 40 days nonstop. The flood will cover the earth for 150 days. But it will take almost a year before the whole thing dries and dry land will appear. By the time the whole project, so you have to have enough food to keep everybody alive for at least 1 year. You're not going to plant, you're not going to cultivate, but you're going to have enough. So you can imagine, what size of boat is that? Noah said, oh my God, has anybody done this before? He said, no. I need to check history. What did Adam do? What about Methuselah? There was nobody. And you're telling me to do this? There are a lot of them that were apostles because they pioneered new grounds. There are a lot of them. Abraham was the next. Hundreds of years after Noah, God wanted to now raise a nation, and his dream is, I'll use this nation as, I'll call them my first son nation, the first nation to be redeemed. But after I raise them, I use them to disciple all the nations of the earth and win them back. Because you know, humanity was fallen. And the first nation that God ever went to redeem to himself, to purchase to himself. I'm talking about not redeeming just a few individuals, salvation of individuals. Salvation of a whole nation was the Jewish race. He said, Israel is my son. Before God called you son, he called Israel son. He said, he's my first son. Go tell Pharaoh, let my son go, that he might serve me if he refuses to do that. Now, but Abraham's mandate is not delivering Israel out of Egypt. It's to bet that nation and nurture it. And that's the mandate his son Isaac carried, Jacob carried. By the time of Joseph, it became a reality. They have become a nation. You can imagine that by the time of Jacob, there were just 17 people in number. Bible said, as we went from nation to nation, God rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, that do my prophet no harm. And Abraham, who was being called to undertake this assignment of raising a nation, was 100 years when he had a child. He was 75 when he got the call. What are you saying, God? If you want to raise a nation, you want me to have a child and raise a nation for you, go find some young couple, 18. If you wanted to have 100 kids, women can be getting pregnant every year. Deliver this one, have another one, as long as you keep her alive. Or do you want me to have 100 wives? Maybe 1,000 wives. Just be impregnating them. How do you intend to get this nation to? Somewhere he even tried to help God by touching the maid, and the baby came out of that. God said, no, that which is for your own loin. He said, what? God accept Ishmael. What are you saying? It don't make sense. But finally, God brought him out, showed him the stars, showed him the sons. Said, so shall your seed be. Count them. He said, that moment the man believed God. Now, you know, and the program now started. Now, I noticed, this is one thing I found that in all of these men, if you're going to go far, what puts them, gives them that ability to do the impossible is that they've seen the invisible. They all had revelations of Jehovah. They all had. There were no people who are telling cock and bull stories. That's why we were able to come here. We started this thing with nothing. Just 5 stones. Every Goliath went down. So it's not about how much money you have, how much connection you have, which school you attended, whether you're a graduate of Harvard. Through all those things, that chaff. God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. What is keeping you? What is keeping you? You're busy doing paperwork, calculating. You're a planner. Stop wasting your life, my friend. When God says something, act on it, whether you have done paperwork or not. What gets the job done is a man that will believe God and act. Not all these theories are teaching you people. You think it's management that made Moses a deliverer? You think it's all these your theories? Sit down in an office and be writing paper. And the whole year goes. He's a man that can believe God and act on his instructions. It's faith that acts. Faith that obeys. To get a man to that point of conviction where he can begin to take action is what the divine encounter is all about. It's not about coming to get people excited because they've rushed out again. People with no pregnancy in them. What are you rushing out for? The endowment of power is for assignment. It's not for a child's play. Pentecostal deception. Come to church for masturbation. God, masturbate me. You ejaculate and relax. Then you wait for another Sunday. I hope that pastor is ready for me. I need another man. It's like going to church to get the ubo, get it knocked off. Go high, then go down. That's not it. God is looking for fruit, not looking for masturbation. Looking for conception. God wants result. He wants certain things done. Looking for people who are serious. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Because until you conquer that internal barrier, fear, rejection, all of, and why is Moses saying, who am I? He has failed before. He tried it in the arm of the flesh. He failed. He killed somebody. He has his mistakes. He has problem with anger. He has murder on his hands. And you're telling me to go back the same place I killed someone. Who will believe me? A woman asked me in the U.S., she said, me that I've lost my own. Who will believe me when I talk? But what they don't know is what you think is your disqualification is exactly your qualification. God uses people who have failed, not people who have succeeded. When you succeed on your own, God is not in it. God is looking for people who are available. Not people who are able. When you have the ability on your own, you are disqualified. God is looking for people who he can fill, not people who have filled themselves with their ego and them and self-growth. He's looking for people he can take and wear, put on like a garment. And people think he's still you, but he's now God in the flesh. Now, this is where I want to connect because I want to introduce somebody to you. He is the part I want you to see. Where Moses said to God, who am I? And the Lord answered, he said, I, we certainly be with you. But the problem is he didn't define who the I is. So Moses asked another question, who is this I? Who will I tell the people that sent me? I need a revelation. Who is this person? I am seeing a burning bush, but who is it? He said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign that I send you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God in this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and said to them, the Lord God of your fathers has sent me to you. They said to me, who is, what is his name? What shall I say to them? That was when God answered and said, I am who I am. I like the Hebrew version that said, Asha, Ehe, Asha. That's, you know, I am that I am. But it also means, I become everything you need me to be. I convert to whatever you need me to be. I love it because that's when he gave Moses the revelation of his word, Jehovah. And the Jews will write it, Jehovah dash. So whatever it is that you need, you add to the Jehovah, you couple a new name of God. When sickness is the problem, you put him as Jehovah Rapha. So he becomes a healer. When finances and provision or lack is, you put him as Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides. When it is battle, you have enemies, you put him as Jehovah Nisi. He kills all your enemies for you. So you might have one side of the revelation of God, but of course that's not, I don't want to bother much about that. The point I want to get here is, who is it that sent me? Now, we're going to be looking at that tonight. But when you get it, it now led to the next question that Moses asked God. What if, I know you have introduced yourself to me because God gave him a revelation of who he was. But after God did it, he said, what if they now start arguing with me, saying you are lying, God did not appear to you? Because God actually told him, when you get to them, tell him, the God of our fathers appeared to me. That's what he told him to say. Don't be afraid to say, God appeared to me. Lift up your hands. You're going to have an appearance of Christ. That's what produces people like us. Let me tell you this. Look at verse 16. Go gather the elders of Israel. Say to them, the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, appear to me. Appear to me. Don't be afraid. And he said, I've surely visited you. I've seen that which is done to you in Egypt. So I'm going to do something about it. When God appears to you, he deposits something in you that you have to give people. It doesn't appear to you for you. If all your experience with God is about you, forget about it. It's about dominion mandate. It's about something to do. It's about ministry. It's nobody God appears to that will not, he does not recruit into ministry. If he didn't call you, he won't appear to you. Doesn't waste his time. Doesn't waste his time. Everybody that saw him in scripture became an apostle. Became a special messenger. So I don't know about it. All this, I saw Jesus in the night. I saw, stop talking and get busy and go and do something. If God appears to you, it's time for you to appear to your generation. That's what he's saying. Go. If I have appeared to you, now it's time to you go and meet people. Use that experience to talk. And he said, after you talk to the elders and they are convinced, then it's time for the elders to go to Pharaoh with you and tell Pharaoh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to us. From appearing to me to appearing to what? Us. Even though the people have not seen him. Let me show it to you. Chapter 4. Look at it. So, that's, is it not chapter 3? Verse 16 that we read. In chapter 16, Moses, you are the one introducing God to the elders of Israel. And then verse 18, God told Moses, he said, they will heed your voice. And you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. You shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. So you see also, we just had a meeting with God. And this is what he told us to tell you. He said, Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord your God. Because a man that God has appeared, appears to you, God has also appeared to you. Are you ready to carry God to your generation? If not, God has no business with you this night. That's why I'm doing all this clearing ground, because you can come here and waste your time and go. It's those who want to be God's representatives. That those are the ones. This meeting is not ending this night. We're completing it tomorrow. Tomorrow night, you will see now, you will experience some of the things we're experiencing today. You will be on your face. Some of you will be experiencing literal. I wish I had a day earlier to prepare you, because before God appears, he tells Moses, prepare the people today, tomorrow, on the third day, I will appear to all Israel. I have seen it happen in camp meetings. There are some that will start like this, 5 a.m. service. People, by the time people are waking up from the experience, it's 6 p.m. and nobody knew when the time passed. Because people are transported. It was one camp meeting when the thing commotion started, all of us who were on the stage were knocked out. And then angels took over the service and started singing the whole meeting. Singing and some of the amazing things, experiences you finish, all the hairs on your body will be standing up. Where do you think we came from? We came from this Mount of Transfiguration. That's what produced the kind of faith required to do what we are doing. That's what produced it. It's not talk. It's not religion, my friend. You will die if religion is what you have. Lord God has met with us. He said, so you don't talk to Pharaoh till you have talked to God. Pharaoh won't listen to you till you have heard from God. Pharaoh, there are powers that hold the territories. Whatever, whether it's economic world, I don't know which world you are trying to possess for the kingdom of God. There are forces that operate there. They listen. They submit when the revelation of God dawns on your heart. But here is, you know, what I want to say. Vision goes through seven major stages. The first stage is, I thought it. Now, at that moment is what they call conception stage or idea stage. It's true. You have found your purpose. You have an idea. But it's still, you don't believe it. At that stage, you doubt it. You don't do anything. So that's where many of us are. Hey, God has shown me my power, this and that. So I taught his stage at the level of just idea and concept. You don't do anything about it. Then it gets to the second stage, because at this stage it's inspiration. It's the stage of inspiration. God is talking to you, he's dropping ideas, he's dropping things in your spirit. Moses had this before. He said he thought the people should know that he's the one that would deliver them. But when he went to help them, he killed somebody. And the next day he went to separate his two brothers who were fighting. Somebody, problem started. One of them said, who made you a Lord and a deliverer of us? That was it. Guy ran for his life. Because idea stage is not enough to make a man a deliverer. Idea stage is filled with doubts. You are wondering, how would this ever happen? You know this idea is bright. God is saying something. Wow. In your mind, you are still trying to figure it out. Faith has not come alive to mix with it. Then you get to the second stage, which is I caught it stage. At the level of I caught it, you become pregnant. You have conceived. But you know, pregnancy goes through that first trimester when it can easily be aborted. But it's there growing. What happens at the I caught it stage is that the vision becomes clear. Hey, you now understand what even the assignment is. Abraham raised a nation. But when he was Joseph in Egypt, that apostolic mandate was to preserve this nation from extinction. Why? Famine was coming. God saw it ahead, gave birth to a baby, raised the baby, gave the baby a vision that he's going to make him a prime minister. Like some of you now, you are seeing things. You are seeing how God will make it. You need to get an understanding of even why. Being an Esther, being first lady is not the issue. Why have I come to the kingdom for such a time as this? If not, you can still come there. It's purpose that brought you there. It has given you a platform. The platform is supposed to be used to solve the problem. Do whatever you can abort the whole plan of God. Esther got there and started arguing. You want me to go and die? Go talk to the king. I was not invited. Send whatever. The man sent to her. He said, do you know whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? If you stay back from doing what you should do, grievance will come to God's people from another source, because God always has your replacement. When he gave you that thing, he has another person he has talked to too. That's what you need to know. For every Saul, there is a David. So at that time, he has raised Esther, he has raised God. You can't trap God. When he has the first Adam, he had the second Adam. He always has option B. He said, deliverance will come from another source, but you and your father's house will perish. So getting a platform doesn't mean you are fulfilling a purpose. Like church. Church is a platform. God helps you. You have grown to you. Gather people. What next? Then there is I bought a stage. I bought a stage. It's now, at this stage, I have made commitment. It's called commitment stage. It's at the stage of I'm willing to pay whatever price to see this vision come to pass. At that moment, people start making consecration. People start making commitment. They are ready to spend their money. They are ready to pay the price. They are ready to burn time. Vision is costly, but vision will pay you later. Oh, God's assignment, yeah, it's costly. There's a price, though, to fulfilling anything. When you are, you know, initial stage, conception stage, it's sexual intercourse stage. You know, you are worshiping, God is showing you. He's usually very sweet. You think that's how everything. You are in prayer now, he's showing you things. He won't tell you any price. It's intercourse. It's the sweet part of vision. Then finally, conception occurs. You cut it. You now own it. It's now your vision. It's no more an idea flying around. You have now understood what it is that you are actually supposed to do. And what leads to that is meditation. It's meditation. When you spend time thinking on it, it's meditation. It's incubation. Then when you get pregnant and get to the stage of abort it, I'm now ready to pay the price another. And you know, when you start communicating the vision, your people will have to go through these stages. Some will see there, you know. And at that moment, you won't see them. They won't put their money. They won't do anything. They are still, you know, at the idea stage. They are doubting. This man, is he not too ambitious? What is he thinking about? How did he think that we can take this city? But then when you get to a body stage, commitment comes. You are ready to die for it. It now becomes something to die for and something to live for. It is from that moment that you begin to tell it. The I tell it stage, which is selling it for others to buy into it. It's at that moment that communicating the vision, that's vision casting. When you have bought it, you have sold yourself to it. That's when you talk about it, it becomes compelling. Other people buy into it. So what transmits it from ordinary idea, ordinary revelation, ordinary whatever, to a man laying his life down, willing to die for it, is that he knows who sent him. That stage called I bought it. That stage. There is something that happens to the man, the carrier of the vision, that causes a transition. That's what God is trying to get Moses to do. I am that I am. But out of that, then he can go and start selling it. Go to gather the elders and then start. Because when a man has bought into it, now the spirit of the vision in him, when he talks, it's no more normal words. It's not just he gets other people pregnant. Others' wombs are fertilized by what he's carrying. And from the telly stage, that's when you begin to pursue it. The assorted stage, that's when you begin action stage. You begin to move and take action. You begin to take action. The pursue stage now leads to actualization stage, which is, I got it. It's happening. It's real. Hey, one day, God told him, this is the sign that I sent you. One day, you will, with these people, you will be worshiping on this mountain. And one day, Moses stood on top of that mountain and looked down. 3 million people covered everywhere. This is church in the wilderness. That's what the Bible calls it. This man, so this thing has really happened. That's, I got it. But you have to catch it before you can get it. You have to see it first inside before you see it outside. So God said, after God spoke, God saw. Now, but before God spoke, God saw it inside. You're carrying the picture inside. But after he spoke it into reality, you have to speak it. You have to speak it. But after speaking it, you have to go after it. You have to take action. And it becomes a reality. The baby now is in your hand. The baby is in your hand. That's reality. Vision has become real. Because vision has been pursued. vision has been pursued. That he may run that readeth it. At this stage, what the man does is to, he moves to consolidation stage. If he's a baby, you start consolidating it. He becomes a man. You move to consolidation. What you do is that you do evaluation. You do evaluation of how we came about this. You bring lessons learned. You see mistakes made. You bring everything. And then you improve on the success. That's so that is the stage of I surpass it. I surpass the last victory. Because when people actualize vision, that's when they can backsliding can begin, diminishing return. That's when some of the biggest problem can start. That's when they can strike the rock two times and get disqualified for staying long enough to enjoy the test of what they've accomplished. When people actualize, that's time for evaluation. That's time to get all the lessons learned from it. But you know, God taught me that evaluation is not usually where a vision should stop. That every man that gets to evaluation stage should now do what is called revitalization. Now, for some of us, revitalization is what you normally call revival. That's whenever church has finished accomplishing what God called it to do, a sleep seems to come. That's what happened to many denominations. When they have actually, then they seem to, at that moment, they need to cause revitalization. They need to have a fresh encounter. They need to go back to day one and get a revelation again. Have a fresh encounter. For some organization, that paradigm shift will have to occur from outside that institution. You know, these kind of things. It will have to occur. Sometimes God raises a Martin Luther to start a revitalization, and most of the time, the old system will want to fight it. But here is what it is. What you do, in honor never to backslide at all, is that at that stage when you should be reviving things, you turn it into mentoring and legacy stage. All the lessons that was learned during evaluation, you have accomplished it. Use it to start duplicating. That is called duplication stage. You use it to start teaching new generation how you succeeded. So you become a mentor. You just start leaving legacy till you die. You just start duplicating. People will be replicating it everywhere because one man has paved the way. An apostle has paved the way. Other people are now learning. Instead of leaving it as a mystery, and other people can't tell how it's done. It's only Moses. No. He said it's transferable. Success is duplicatable. Success is transferable. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, what happens is that the man never dies. Then when he goes to the grave, his success just keeps going. So I duplicate it. I duplicate it. I teach it. I teach it. The stage of teaching it. The stage of duplicating it. You will have to need revival. But if you stop, then God will have to send somebody somewhere to come and revitalize you. Tonight, if you have been active, you need revitalization. Some of it. There are some of us that need first encounter. There are some of us that need second encounter. There are some of us that need a fresh visitation of God. You need to know who the I am is. You have forgotten. You have forgotten. So now he has become a man. He's become an ordinary person. He has become just a normal person to you. I don't know, where are you in these seven stages in your vision? Level one, that's why you are useless. God will have to do something to move you beyond level one. I think it. I just got some idea. And you see, they're always fiddling with paper because at that stage, it's write the vision. Make it plain. But part of writing it is not just to make he that read it to run. It's to get you convinced one day so you can run. Because when you write it, it becomes stronger in you. It becomes stronger in you. It becomes stronger in you. Lift up your hands. Ask God, tonight, show me who I am. I didn't send myself. I didn't show myself. You are the one that sent me. Open my eyes to see it. You are carrying the solution to the problems of many. You will see it. Pick up back. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Madagaba Siga. Ikabosh. Panamba. Bibi Sigiba. Bavos Kiba Shada. Kiende. Sukabala Bush. Mama Mavika. Rokaba. Kos Kibabaya. Sadama Mimisho. Padiba Gaba. Lord, let your angels go with your force.
Let them go with your army. Let them subdue every obstacle. Let them subdue every giant. Let them subdue the Hittites, the Amorites. Let them lead them to the land that you have promised. Let them lead them to victories after victories. 90 days of unceasing victories. 90 days of unceasing victories. That's what you have entered into. 90 days of unceasing victories. 90 days of unceasing victories. 90 days of unceasing victories. Take a basho, devo shagia. Holy come on, Sunday in the kaya. Kumara basonos. Manema go sugars. Vida das, cold room seer. Batanidish, Batanidish, Halarusta. There's no lack in God. There's no lack in Him. There's no lack in Him. We give you praise. We give you glory. Blessed be to your holy name. Blessed be to your holy name.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbeli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.